get started. He mentioned Joshua 6, 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given. That word says given. It doesn't say grace. There's no grace in that. He said, I have given it to you. And then he tells them what they got to do. They can't say a word. They got to walk around it seven times. They can't utter it.
You get that?
Okay, sorry about that. Joshua 6, 2 says, and the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given into thy hand Jericho. The word given is not the word grace. He told them what they had to do with the city and walk around it. Had they not obeyed God, those walls would have never fallen down. Grace is unmerited favor. You don't do anything to get grace. You don't have to walk around walls. You don't have to do anything. God gave it to you by shedding the blood of His Son. What divides a person that is saved by that grace is by accepting it. Accepting is not works. If belief is works, you try to go to work tomorrow and just sit around all day and believe the job will get done, and they'll send you home packing because belief is not works. He didn't mention 2 Timothy 2:13, which is another verse that I use. He cannot deny himself. He completely ignored it. Galatians 5:1, when it starts out, he's talking to us that have received the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 4, he says you. Because he knew he wasn't talking to us. He wasn't in the same boat as those that were falling from grace because he wasn't being justified by works. Escape the pollutions of the world. Will you tell me what Jehovah's Witness had to escape the pollutions of the world? Jehovah's Witness knock on your doors. They dress better than you do. They got better standards than you do. They don't watch TV. They don't go to movies. They're not, for the most part, they're not gluttons. Matter of fact, I don't think I've ever met an overweight Jehovah's Witness. They live the life. They escape the pollutions through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they're not born again, not a single one of them. 1 John 1:9, forgiving sins. Yeah, He's just and faithful to forgive you sins if you ask Him to. But that entire context, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, is all fellowship. You go down through there and you read that, and it's talking about fellowship, fellowship, fellowship. It's talking about staying in fellowship with your Lord and Savior. It's not talking about losing your salvation. You got to look at the context, folks. You got to look at what it's talking about. Cleaned isn't born again. Cleaned isn't born again. Jesus Christ said, cast not thy pearls before swine. Swine lost people. Now, he talked about harmonizing James 2 and Ephesians 2. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell you to harmonize or do any harmony. The Bible says rightly divide, not harmonize. And it says that by works a man is justified in James 2. Ephesians 2 says by grace you are saved, not of works. That is a clear contradiction. Clearly. Now, this next segment, I'm going to be using this chart, and I'm also going to be using this. And this right here is the key to the whole thing. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:9. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. This is page 8, in case you want to get online with us. That's page 8. And there's this chart right here is right before that. Page 8. I want y'all to go through this with me. I want you to see what the Bible says about this subject. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Every born-again Christian has the Spirit of God. And it says that if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. Now, 2 Timothy 2:15 again. Study. Show thyself approved unto God, a workman needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All of these verses over here that are in purple are Old Testament passages. We're going to look at the work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the Holy Ghost was in men, but He could depart from them. Now, the Bible says, let's look down here at number 51. 1 Samuel 16:13-14. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. So David got the Holy Spirit, and Saul lost the Holy Spirit. In the book of Judges, you find Samson getting the Holy Spirit, losing the Holy Spirit. Down here in Psalm 51:11, that's number 57,
cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. David knew that he could lose the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 9:16-17. The underlying part. For where a testament is, a force after men are dead. Now one thing you've got to keep in mind is that in the Old Testament, they didn't get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And in the Old Testament, Jesus Christ obviously hadn't died yet, and it was a completely different dispensation. That's why I talked about rightly dividing a minute ago. Jesus Christ died, and then the New Testament was enforced, according to Hebrews 9. So when you get to Jesus Christ's early earthly ministry, here in Matthew 3, John the Baptist said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, and whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." So Jesus Christ is going to come with the Holy Spirit, and he's going to baptize you with that Holy Spirit. John 7:38-39. "Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive," should, future tense, "should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified." So Jesus had to be glorified before the Holy Spirit could be given. John 14:16-20. "He shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. And at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." And we're going to skip that next one. I'm limited on time here, but I want you to take special notice of this. Luke 22:31-32. That's number 62 on your paper. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon," that's Peter, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Peter's been with Jesus Christ for 3 years, and he's one chapter away from the crucifixion. Why hasn't Peter been converted yet? Now, before we go any further, I want you to notice here, I'm going to keep reiterating this, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." All these people could get the Holy Spirit and lose the Holy Spirit. Right here, Jesus Christ prophesied about that. During Jesus Christ's earthly ministry, they were living under the Old Testament law, because Jesus Christ had not died yet, according to Hebrews 9. But he is the mediator of the New Testament. "Where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator, for a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth." Now we get to this middle section here. This is what is commonly called the church age of grace. This is where you get eternal security. 1 Corinthians 12:13-20. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." That is the scripture that was prophesied in Matthew 3, that Jesus Christ was baptized with the Holy Spirit. He would put people into the body of Christ with the Holy Spirit. God set the members, every one of them, in the body. He did it through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Note, believers are part of Jesus Christ. That's John 14:16-20. That's the prophecy there. Jesus Christ was talking about that, being part of Christ, being in Christ. Nobody in the Old Testament was in Christ, not a single person. Ephesians 5:29-32. "Even as the Lord the church, for we are members of His body, of His flesh, of His bones. And they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church." You become part of Jesus Christ. He is in you and you are in Him. The Apostle Paul writes to those that are part of the church, the body of Christ. And we're going to look at the eternal security verses here. But Paul is writing to the church. He writes to the church at Ephesus, the church of Galatia, the church of Corinth. Those are the people that he writes this stuff to. Now, 2 Corinthians 1:21-22. "Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ," there it is again, in Christ, "is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit out of our hearts." Ephesians 1:12-14. "Who first trusted in Christ, and whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of His glory. Now what Ephesians 1:13-14 plainly says is that you trust and you believe after you hear the word of truth, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, then you're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. You say, what does earnest mean? Well, it means first fruits. That which is given in advance that gives promise of something to come, assurance of full payment. So what you do is you go get a loan, and they want your earnest money to get that loan, and they want your earnest money to buy that piece of land, and you promise to pay to purchase that full price. That's what Jesus Christ did. He gave you the Holy Spirit. He promised to purchase you until the redemption of the purchased possession, when He gives you a new body. Ephesians 4:30, you bring not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. There you are sealed again, just like in Ephesians 1:13, you're sealed. Philippians 1:6, we'll skip that one. 1 Corinthians 1:7-8. Who shall also confirm you until the end, that you may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ right there is going to confirm you until the end. That contradicts the verse Mr. Donahue quoted over in Hebrews that said you had to hold fast until the end. That's what it said, that Jesus Christ is going to confirm you. If I had to confirm myself, yes, I would lose it. Romans 8:35-39, we've already went through that. 2 Timothy 1:12. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. 2 Corinthians 5:5. The earnest of the Spirit. There it is again. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Question. If a man can lose salvation, does he turn back into the old creature? Do you believe that? Do you believe that you get saved and you become a new creature and then you lose it by sinning and you go back to the old creature? No. Of the 78 times the phrase in Christ is in the Bible, all of them except for 3 are in Romans through Philemon. There are none in the Old Testament, none in the Gospels, none in Hebrews, none in James, and none in Revelation. There's a reason for that. Because only these people in Romans through Philemon are put into the body of Christ. Because they didn't have the Holy Spirit in the sense that we have it. None of these people were sealed. They could lose it. Jesus Christ prophesied here that these people would get it indwelling permanently. And that's why in the church age, born again Christians, that's thus born again. You get the new birth. These people didn't have the new birth. Romans 8:29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of the Son, that He might be firstborn among many brethren. I want to reiterate this again. I am not a Calvinist. Using the phrase Arminian to the cross, Calvinist after the cross, basically, that's what this verse right here teaches. Once you get saved, once you, by free will, you are born again, then you are predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, to have a new body. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we which are asleep, are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. This here is a translation. This is a catching away. This is where Jesus Christ comes back into the church and pulls them out. Now the reason that I put this in red is because something different happens here. The church body goes out. The Holy Spirit is what puts you in Christ, and He is in you. Therefore, when He takes you out, the Holy Spirit goes with Him, in the sense that the Holy Spirit no longer puts anybody in Christ. Romans 11:25-39. Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, in part, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That's what 1 Thessalonians is all about. Fullness of the Gentiles comes in, the body of Christ is called out, then He starts dealing with Israel again. He starts dealing with Jews. That's why it says, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Notice the Bible says that if you believe that God is all done with Israel, the Bible says here that it is conceit and it's ignorance. Now, all these verses to follow teach that somebody has to endure to the end or they're going to go to hell. I'm not going to take the traditional Baptist viewpoint on this. They mean what they say and they say what they mean. I do believe that all of these verses I'm fixing to give you teach that somebody has to endure to the end or they will go to hell. They will have their name taken out of the book of life. I do not believe that anybody right here in the church age can go to hell because I've already read the scriptures. Jesus Christ keeps your salvation. You don't keep yourself. The Holy Spirit seals you. Now, I'm going to skip that. I'll let y'all read it. It's on the paper. Here, when we get to this side over here, it's the same as the Old Testament. The Holy Ghost can leave a person again, just like in the Old Testament. You have to endure to the end. Question, who's the book of Hebrews written to, and who is the book of James written to? Well, the book of James says Hebrews. Who are those? Those are Jews. Those are Jews. They're not Christians. The book of James, James chapter 1, verse 1, unto the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Those are Jews. Those are not Christians. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. James writes to the 12 tribes. If we hold fast, firm to the end, we've already quoted that. Somebody has to hold fast. 1 Corinthians 1, 7 and 8. Christian doesn't have to hold fast. Hebrews 3, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold. You don't have to hold. Hebrews 6, it's impossible. These folks can lose salvation. If they shall fall away to renew them again, it is impossible. They will die and go to hell, is what this verse is teaching. Hebrews 10, 26 through 31. For if we sin willfully, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy. Here's the reason I pointed that out. If you read the book of Hebrews, which is written to Hebrews, the whole thing is Jewish. Everything that he gives in there is talking about Jews, 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 Jews. But see, what they have to do is they have to do works and faith again set up. They keep the Old Commandment laws and they believe in faith in Jesus Christ. Now, so that you're not confused on what it takes to lose salvation, sinning willfully is going to rise and eating all you can eat. Gluttony is a sin. Doing 45 and a 40, that is a sin. We would be losing it and getting it all the time if you could lose it. And I give the verses if you want to look them up later. Matthew 24, the he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. If you look at the context, it is clearly tribulation. You say, why? He says, then shall the end come. Well, if you look at Joel 2:32, it says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And the cross-reference for that is in Acts 2:16-21, where Peter is preaching to Jews, and he tells them the exact same thing, quoting Joel, except he used the word saved instead of delivered. Saved doesn't always mean born again. You've got to keep that in mind, because if not, every time you read the word saved, over there where it talks about a woman being saved in childbearing, the context is not salvation. It's talking about she'll be saved in childbearing from being deceived, just as Eve was deceived. Mark 13:13. That's going to skip it. James 5:19-20. Save a soul from death. Now James 1:1, James the servant of God, there it is. To the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. And according to 1 Corinthians 1:2, which is at the church of Corinth, to Christians, not to Jews. And the Bible says that if you are in Christ, you're neither Jew nor Gentile. And Mr. Donahue makes a big deal out of that James 5:5, but notice in Romans 9:3-4, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ and my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites. So he calls them brethren. Brethren is interchangeable with brother. It's interchangeable. It doesn't mean that they're saved just because they call them brethren. They call them brethren all through the Old Testament. No, works-based setup. Again, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, he mentioned this here. Right here says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. And that's all he dwelt on. He didn't finish it. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. That says you cannot sin if you're born of God. That's the difference, folks. These people right here are born of God. These people right here are not born of God. These people right here are not born of God. These people right here are not born of God. Nobody in the Old Testament and nobody in the Tribulation is born again. They do not get the new birth. Every one of these verses that I give you, if you will look them up, being sealed in the Holy Spirit, being put in Christ, being members of Christ, you will never find any of these people over here being put into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. Right here. These people lose it, get it, they're not sealed. Why do you have all these verses that say that you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And then it gives you the earnest of the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't say anything about holding fast firm until the end. If you look at the context of all the verses that he uses over here, every one of them is talking about a Christian that falls into sin or some other thing. Now, when I get back up in my next 20, we're going to look at how God deals with a Christian. I'm going to give you even more proof text than this right here that shows that a born-again Christian is sealed and saved and cannot lose his salvation. And it's not about what I do, it's about what he did.